Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Everybody just please stand and welcome the pastor and first lady of Hungry for God Church, Vernell J.R. Samuel and Shanique Samuel.
Amen. Thank you. Excuse me, as they said, the decorum. All right. Thank you. Yeah, pull that up. Awesome. I feel like we're at home now. No? All right. Well, we are home. Praise God. All right, family. We're ready. We're back. Family talk. I feel like I'm on a TV show or something. All right, so as Ryan mentioned, this is the final talk around relationships, love, marriage, in this, in this setting. So we have a number of questions that have been sent to us that we would like to kind of just browse through. Some are worth answering, some, you know, a little too ratchet. But just like some of the big ideas, the big questions that we're going to get to, we also wanted to just give you guys some, again, practical takeaways from just everything we talked about during the last 4 weeks. We started week one talking from the scripture of the parable of the 10 virgins, right? 5 foolish and 5 wise. We started off talking about how love is wise, right? Like there was some that were foolish and some that were wise, but love is not something that is supposed to be entered into haphazardly or unintentionally. It's supposed to be intentional, all right? It requires sobriety, all right? It doesn't mean that we can just fall in love and stay in love. No, you have to be intentional about walking in love, all right? And that requires both parties to approach love to the same intensity, right? The same capacity, right? Having that goal in mind. And sometimes what we find is that there will be two parties getting together, one has one objective, the other has a completely, totally different objective. But there are false expectations, right? There is an expectation that this person is as committed as you might be. Or you might think that I'm in a committed relationship with someone who has a fiance somewhere else that you don't even know about. All right? And so usually what happens, there are ways to get around that stuff, is ways to actually gain clarity on what you're getting into. And it really just starts with you asking the right questions, yes, and not being afraid to hear the answers that you may not want to hear. Yes. All right, sometimes we ask questions and we don't want the real answer.
Yeah. Or we get the answer in sort of, I won't even say we don't pay attention, we just ignore it, right? Sometimes we get answers that it's not necessarily something that we want to hear, and we just ignore it. And then we end up coming back to it when things sort of blow up, or we don't reap the result that we thought we would get or gain.
Right. All right, so we want to build a church, a wise church. We are a younger church, of course, and a lot of you guys are in different transitions, different stages. Some are divorced, some are widowed, some are in the process of getting married, and bottom line is all of us can use another dose of wisdom, okay? Amen? So, where do you want to start? Question or to some of the big ideas? All right, so let's get to, there were some really major ideas that I wanted to just touch on. If you guys can, let's go to the Bible, all right? Look at John, let's start from here, John chapter 15, all right? Everybody, turn with me to John chapter 15. And you usually people leave God and the Word out of relationships, and it should be the focal point and basis for where we understand love. Besides, who is love? The Bible says, God, right? God is love. Do you guys believe that? God is love. Do you believe God can help you love better? All right? Do you believe God can teach you how to love better? Okay, it doesn't matter what relationship, parental, spousal, anybody. God is love. And actually, the closer you get to God is the more you understand love. In fact, I believe more people are confused about love because they don't know God is love. Because if he is love, then that means I don't know love unless I know God. Okay, so that's one of the main things. If you want to find somebody that's going to love you, find somebody that loves God too.
Make sure they love God.
Amen. You guys don't believe me? It's all right. It's a word. John chapter, what is it, 15?
15, verse 13.
Verse 13. Now, this is one of the big ideas I want to leave you guys with. This is my, verse 12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So love is a commandment whether you're married or not. Love is a commandment whether you're married or not. You just don't love your wife or your husband, you just don't love your boo, you don't love, you love everybody. Everybody is deserving of your love. Amen? It's a commandment. It's a commandment. We are commanded to love. I believe Christians should have the best relationships on the planet. This is my command that you love as I have loved you. So the person who actually shows us how to love is Jesus. As he loved us, so we love others. Verse 13, but here's the main idea. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for who? His friends. The first point I want you guys to walk away with, and we touched on this before, I think we did a relationship series prior to this, and I laid down the idea of the thought that friendship is the cornerstone of all relationships. Friendship is the cornerstone of all important of all relationships. In fact, Jesus said there is no greater love than a man will lay down his life for his friends. Not a man that will lay down his life for his daughter. Not a man that will lay down his life for his mom. Or lay down his life for his wife. For who?
His friend.
His friend. So if God commands the man, to the husbands, to lay down their lives for their wives, but Jesus said there's no greater love than a man will lay down his life for his friends, then what makes it easy for a man to lay down his life? That his wife is a
friend.
Okay? Now, somebody will say, well, he's married to me. That means he's my friend. No, it doesn't. We've been married, so that means she's my best friend or he's my best friend. No, it doesn't. And in fact, you'd be surprised at how the Bible describes friendship. Look at, for example, read some of those verses. That Proverbs talks a lot about this. What's the first verse? Use the mic.
It says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 17 and 17.
Okay, so Proverbs 17, 17. A friend loves when?
At all times.
At all times.
Mm-hmm. And then Proverbs 18 and 24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So, you don't necessarily need many friends, but you need one, right? Having that one friend is critical, it's important. Friendship should be the base and the foundation of your relationship. Because when you're in a relationship with a person, our feelings and our emotions, they are very fickle, right? Depending on, you know, what has happened, the situation. But when you are truly friends, it doesn't matter what happens, but it's that friendship, which is the cornerstone, that will continue to bring each other back to each other, even when things are getting crazy. So, like the Bible says, there's no greater love than one that would lay down his life for a friend. So even if you're married, especially when you're courting or dating, the most important thing to do is say to yourself, like, is this somebody that, like, have we developed a friendship? Before you even start thinking about, like, getting into anything very serious, you think about it, like, have we developed a friendship first? And if you have a solid foundation of friendship, I think then that is the time when you can then look at things and see and come to sort of agreement and say, okay, well, these are the things that I want. These are the things that I want. Are we on the same path? But to try to jump into a relationship without friendship being the foundation, I would say it's like almost setting yourself up for disaster.
Yeah. You guys get that? So romance is not necessarily the one thing that you want to look for when you connect with somebody. It's a valuable friendship.
Can we talk about whatever? Can I share my deepest secrets, like those things that I wouldn't necessarily tell anybody? Yeah. Can I share those things with this person? And if you're comfortable and you know that, wow, I can share my deepest secrets with this person, then that's somebody that you would want to see companionship in. But if you feel guarded and you feel like you can't necessarily trust the person, or you feel like the person may judge you, then I would be a little hesitant about diving into that relationship seriously.
Yeah, right? One of the things I know about friendship is friends know the good and the bad about you, but can love you the same.
Yep.
Right?
The bad, the ugly.
And that's why a friend loves at all times. So when you can share your secrets, you can share, like you said, your heart concerns with somebody, and that person still respects you, still honors you, still cherishes you like it didn't matter, that's a friend.
Yep.
And it's built on intimacy. Intimacy is sharing information. Is the information you share with someone that you don't share with anybody else.
Even for an example, like, I know of a situation where a couple was together for many years, and there was one really, really dark secret, and somehow that secret surfaced in their marriage, and that literally tore them apart. So it's like, if your spouse is your friend, even those darkest secrets that may surface, those things won't, you get what I'm saying? Like, they may shake a little bit, but you still have that foundation of friendship that you can move forward. So again, like, friendship is the foundation, is the cornerstone of any marriage, of any relationship that you're getting into or seeking to get into.
All right. And so one of the things we want you guys to start doing is work on your friendship ability. Because if somebody can't tell you the truth without feeling like you're going to attack them, criticize them, crucify them, persecute them, then they're not going to want to come to you. They're not going to want to share those secrets with you. They're not going to feel like I can trust you enough with my heart. So then, guess what happens? You pull away and end up talking to somebody else who will listen to me, who will love me at all times. That's all we want. We just want somebody to listen to us, somebody to love us, and not judge us. And so the worst thing is when you get into a relationship, and what I also notice is that sometimes some people start as friends, then they get in a relationship or get married, and then it's like, you lose that friendship. Like, no, you're my man now, you're my wife now, so you just gotta do what I say. And we kind of lose that the whole friendship thing, right? But the goal is keeping that friendship first. Before marriage, before relationship, we're friends first, amen? And if you honor that and we respect that, was another verse in there? Yeah, I love that. What is it? First Peter 4?
No. Proverbs 17 and 9.
Proverbs 17:9. I'll be writing these verses down. What does it say?
It says, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats that matter separates close friends.
Say that again.
Whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends.
How many times have you separated your friendship with somebody because you brought up old all things. You brought up the all, you brought up situations and said, well, you know, you did this last time and this happened and this. The Bible says if you keep repeating a matter, you separate close friends. But what is the, what did the beginning of it say?
Whoever
fosters love
covers over
offenses.
So looking beyond, looking past those things.
See, when it comes to friendship, when it comes to friendship, perfection is not your goal. Protection is. You cover the person in their fall. You cover a person in their sin. You, when you find out what happened, what was wrong, you don't bring that up and try to bring it back in their face and throw it at them. You know, the Bible says that you cover a multitude of sins. That's what love does.
God covers us. How many times we've done things and the secrets that we have and the sins that we've committed, and he's never exposed us. So God covers us. So it's that same love that God has shown us. That's the same love that we should be able to show towards our friends, that we should be able to show towards our spouses.
Yeah. Amen. So if you want, so just to lay down this point, right? If you want to accelerate your capacity to love and be loved, practice the art of friendship. According to how the Bible says. Okay? If you're judgmental and you're critical and self-righteous about people, you ain't never going to have a healthy relationship. Because it requires you to die to yourself. It requires you to give people the benefit of a doubt. It requires you to forgive people even in their worst state. And then being able to still say, you know what, this is what happened, but I love you. We can work through this. That's what friends do. True friends, right? All right, so that's the first point. Ladies and gentlemen, be friends. Have healthy friendships. All right, practice with your friends right now if you're not married. What friends do you have? If you don't have any friends, get some. All right? Practice friendship. Practice being a friend. I'm telling you, it is extremely important. Because when you get into a relationship, when you get married, wherever, that's your friend for the rest of your life. And there's going to be a lot of overlooking, a lot of covering of sins and transgressions and offenses. And that's what allows a relationship to go the distance, is that we're able to work through all those things. Amen? All right, what else we have to say?
So we wanted to talk a little bit about the value, the gift and season of singleness. Is it a test, right, or a curse? So is God testing us, or is it like this curse, like, oh God, I'm single, I can't find a man, can't find a wife or a woman. So is God testing us, or is it a curse? What do you guys think?
It's a matter of time. That's right.
So it's definitely not a curse. It's definitely not a curse. I won't say that it's a test necessarily, but the things that you go through will test your faithfulness to God. It will test just where you are as a person. Are you ready for a relationship, right? Are you ready? Have you prepared, going back to that preparation? Have you prepared yourself for the relationship, right? So God will have us go through a season of singleness so that we can prepare ourselves for marriage. Going back, like even for me, just being transparent, I remember this season where I had literally told God, you know what? I've been trying to do this on my own, and every time I try to do it, it's just a mess. Every single time, it starts off nice, it starts off lovely, and then at the end, I end up brokenhearted, and just it's just this repeated cycle that I just kept going through over and over again. And I said, you know what, Lord? I'm going to step back. I've done everything but step back. I've done everything in my own power to try to bring this whole thing together, but step back and allow you just to be God. And it wasn't until I made a sound decision to step back, allow God to be God, and seek the Lord in my singleness. It was crazy. Because as soon as I did that, that's when God blessed me. Like, literally, as soon as I did, I don't even think, it might have been like a year. I don't know what your testimony will be, but I didn't have to wait a long time. It wasn't until I made up in my heart. Like, sometimes we say things with our mouths, but we're so far from it within our hearts. Like, we say, Lord, you know, I'm going to give you this issue. I'm not going to, you know, think about it. Not even necessarily think about it, but I'm not going to try to fix it. I'm not going to, you know, become depressed about it. I'm going to give it up to you. And we say that with our mouths, but it's so far from our hearts. And I found myself, like, in those situations where I was saying, like, all right, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to just go out and see how it is. You know, it's kind of, you know, I feel low. It's, you know, boring on a Saturday night to be home alone and, you know, nothing serious. Just want to kind of hang out, have a good time. But that's not giving it all to him. Because we still have, like, this plan A and B. It's either we're going to give it all to him and let him do it, or we're going to just kind of continue going around in circles like the people in the wilderness for 40 years. And then you end up like, wow, I have all this baggage, I have a broken heart, all of these issues, and I'm still not where I want to be. Right? You want to say something? Okay, so he said what I said leads right into the second point, which is, go ahead, you can read it. Oh.
Which leads to our last point, sever all ties to people in your life who you know are not the one.
Those people that you have in your back pocket. How many of us have people in our back pockets? Like, all right, if this don't work, I know he's over. I know, you know, he's always wanted to be with me, or she's always wanted to be with me. So I know, and God don't move fast enough, then I'm going to. We've got to set. No, it's serious. We've got another thing. No, I'm serious about this. I remember, so even in, like, the relationships that I had, it was this one person that no matter what he was like my first boyfriend. No matter what I went through, he was always there. Always there to pick up the phone, always there to pick me up. Like, whatever happened, he was, right? And he knows the person. Always there. No, wait, listen. But it wasn't until when I got into a relationship with my husband, I severed all ties because I knew that he was the one. And I said, and even at that point, I was still questioning God and trying to figure out what was going on. But I said, you know what? I've got to do something different. I've got to do something different this time. And that's an issue that we have. We don't do things differently. We do the same thing over and over and over again and then expect to get different results. That's a form of insanity. We've got to do something different. So it wasn't until I said, you know what? I had a good conversation with him, and I said, you know what? I want, and it's not even like we were like kind of messing around in between or whatever, but he was just like always a shoulder. But I had to tell him, I said, you know what? I am not, like, I know what God has told me, and I know that he's answering my prayers. And I don't want to mess this up. So although we've been friends for all these years, I've got to sever ties with you. So you can no longer be in my back pocket. I didn't say that. But you can no longer be in my back pocket. And that's, like, I'm telling you, you've got to make a sound decision. And even when you're married, sometimes we're married and we have people in our back pockets as well. No, but I'm serious. And even, right? What did you say? Yeah, shit. No, but sometimes we wonder why in our marriages that, why things just isn't going right. Because we're hanging on to things. We're double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So if we're double-minded, well, I think I want to do it God's way. I think you know what it is? We want the benefits of God's way. But we don't want to sacrifice to do it God's way. And you will not reap the benefits of God's way until you sacrifice God's way. And sacrifice is going to require you to spend some days lonely, right? It's going to require you to spend some days on a Saturday night on your knees in prayer, right? It's going to require you to spend some days Saturday night praying. I did it. It's going to require you to spend some days where you just cry out to the Lord. And it's not necessarily for a relationship for a man or for a woman, but it's for clarity. And I think we need to focus more on that and ask the Lord, Lord, give me clarity in this season. Clarity. Which way would you have me to go? And it goes back to that thing that we talked about last week. When you really seek the Lord with your whole heart, and I'm not talking about like playing around with God. I'm talking about like really seeking the Lord with your whole heart, giving up everything, giving up your way for his way. God will give you the answer that you just, not, it may not be the answer that you want to hear, but he's going to give the answer that's going to lead you in the right direction. And you won't continue to go around in circles and waste time. Look at, like, I think about it, I'm just like, sometimes I think like, wow, if I would have done this a lot sooner, like this process, like once I said yes, God, it was so easy. I'm telling you, once I said yes, I will say that the desire for wanting to be married kind of left, but I didn't think about it. I was never really the one, like, sitting, like, oh, God, I got to get married. This is what my wedding is. I was never that person anyway. But there was a season when I was like, you know, I saw people around me, like, in my former church getting married. And I was like, you know what, God? That's something that I do, that I desire, that I want. I don't want to keep dating. But again, it wasn't until I gave the Lord a complete yes with my mouth, with my heart, with my actions, with my time, and that's when the Lord blessed me.
And that big yes becomes a big no to others.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
All right, when you give God a big yes, then it means you're saying no
to the back pocket,
the X's, the jump offs, the options. That's what it means.
Good friends.
The chill friends. The date friends, whatever it is. And I think really and truly, I really feel this. Some of you really need to cut some people off. Even in your, right now, you can start with just taking your cell phone out. Let's put some action to it. Right now, I'm giving you guys 30 seconds. Get your phone. You know. There's no future with them.
But
they still call you, you still call them when you're bored, when you're lonely, you're hungry. Whatever it is, cut them off. If you expect to find the one, you cannot be double-minded. All right? So right now, take 20 seconds. This is Decision Sunday. Decision Sunday. Make a decision. Delete. Delete. Block.
No, not even block. Just delete.
We give you guys 15 more seconds. Do both, you said? Delete and block. Amen. 10 more seconds.
10, 9.
Come on. Now, you're saying you're giving God a yes, and you're going to do it this way?
No,
we're shutting everything else down. All right, and then also, I mean, when you do that, you're also asking God to rid you from those ungodly soul ties, right? Those soul ties that are ungodly, that you don't realize why you have certain, why you make up in the night and have certain thoughts towards a certain person. I mean, those souls are called soul ties. Your soul is connected to them. So until you cut yourself off, consecrate yourself, meaning you leave it, you just, I don't want any dealings with them, I don't want to see them, I don't want to hear from them. Give your heart time to heal, to grow beyond that. And eventually, it takes you about 21 days to get rid of a soul tie.
Detox.
Right? You got to detox yourself from a person. So give yourself 21 days. I'm not going to see this person, talk to this person, if that much. If it's a person that you still need to, you know, get in contact with, whatever the case may be. But for the most part, just cut yourself off from all these people. All right? Amen. All right, so we got a few more minutes left. So this is, we want to just go down the line. Yeah, we're not going to, we got about over 35 questions. But, yeah, we're not going to really get through all of them. So I'll let Shanique lead the way.
There was one that, because I know we've been talking a lot about, like, singleness and, you know, the road to marriage, I just wanted to read this question. It's, is it okay to have a friend of the opposite sex as an emotional cushion to take the edge off the intensity of a marriage relationship? That is the biggest setup. I'm looking at Ebony's face. That's the biggest, that is the setup. That's called an open door, right? That's called an open door. And with open doors are like, this door is open, exactly. We're not, you know, there's nothing necessarily going on or, you know, happening. We haven't been sexual or, you know, but this is a person that I can call when my husband's getting on my nerves or my wife is getting on my nerves. And I can kind of just lean on their shoulder, right? That is the biggest mistake that you can make in your marriage. The biggest. And ladies and gentlemen, if you choose to be that open door, you're setting yourself up for failure. Because the wages of sin is death. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, that's scriptural. That's biblical. I mean, can I get a sense of that's really harsh? But, no, but you know what? What goes around comes around. That's the point that I'm trying to make. What goes around comes around. So if you want to be that open door for that man or that woman and sort of allow them to cry on your shoulder when things aren't going right at home with their wife or their husband, chances are that same situation may happen to you when you get married. So should you keep lines of communication and have somebody on the side that is of the opposite sex that you can talk to? No. That's a setup. You're asking for a disaster, right? Because you may not go into it intentionally thinking like, oh yeah, maybe, you know, this could be my side. You're not even thinking that. But let me tell you something. Any form of intimate time, that conversation, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be physical with a person. But if you're conversating with a person and you've got to hide those conversations from your spouse, it ain't right. So if that's you, close that door. Right? We'll maybe do a few, and then do you guys have questions? We want this to be a little bit interactive. So does anyone have a question? Question. Don't be shy. Don't be scared. You have a question, Char? Okay.
them to be saved before you get married? You both of them to be saved?
I love that question.
Before two people get married, should both of them be saved? Before two people are married, should both of them be saved? If one is saved and the other isn't, I don't think they should. I think that you should. What we should see happen is if we're talking about saved, see that just for me, all those terminologies become. Because you have people who are churchgoers who think they're saved. Then you got people who are Bible readers. You know, doesn't really mean they're saved. But for me, I just believe from a very basic level, you want somebody, you can't be unequally yoked with someone. Or the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? So I think that there should be a certain level of allegiance to Christ and his word. On both ends. That might mean, because sometimes people get connected and then one gets saved, the other wasn't, then that person wants to start introducing them to the things of God. That's great. All right, but I believe that if you have the opportunity to be with somebody, you want to be with somebody who is like-minded, someone who believes what you believe.
I think what we know that the Bible says that, I just said it, but I can't remember, pregnancy. Oh, do not be unequally yoked, right? So that's even with believers. That's even when two people are saved, right? Because two people can be on two different spiritual journeys or two different spiritual paths, right? But one of the things I do believe is you both should be seeking God. You know why? Because if the husband is to lead, and I'm a wife, and you're not saved, but you're supposed to be following Christ, then what am I? What am I following? Who? If my allegiance is to God, and my husband is not saved, and you're supposed to be leading me, where are you leading me to? Right? And not only that, sometimes I've seen it happen. Sometimes it causes conflict within the household when a woman is saved and a husband is not, or even vice versa. Well, you go to church too much. Why do you have to go to church Monday and Sunday? You need to be home spending time here in the house with us. And it goes to unequally yoked too. Because if you don't understand my call and what God has called me to, then when I have to dedicate myself to the things of God, you're not going to understand that. And there's going to be strife and tension. And you don't want to bring unnecessary strife and tension into your marriage. So I would say strong that, yes, both parties should be seeking the Lord, a real relationship. I'm not just talking about religion and religious and going to church on Sundays. I'm talking about both seeking the Lord and seeking for what God would have you both to do individually and collectively. So I do believe you both should be saved before getting married.
That's a good question.
Can you just speak to the outside influence of well-meaning friends and family members in marriage and relationships? How do you balance that and set limits?
Yes.
The Bible says that a husband should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, right? So that means that as a husband, that's your responsibility. That's your first priority, is to your family. And in terms of outside influence, I'll let Vernell talk about that, right?
Yeah, I just believe that you should have. I think that it's important that if you do get married, realizing that your circle might change, and you're the first friend that got married out of all your friends, and all your friends are still single, still have the same lifestyle that you won't be able to necessarily live that way anymore because you're married, and so either your friend's going to have to understand the adjustment in your life and in your time, or they just can't be your friend anymore. I have a lot of friends that I'm no longer friends with now that I'm married. And there's no hard feelings. It's not that I don't. If we see each other, there's no beef or there's no strife. It's just that I cannot dedicate or devote the amount of time, conversation that I was able to before we were married. And so even when you get married, there's an adjustment with your friendships and your relationships. And that's some things some people just don't even want to accept. Family as well. You know, the word of your mother is not more important than the word of your wife after you get married. And it's true. All right. So, yeah, ultimately, the goal is, again, your wife, your spouse, that's the most important person in your life immediately. And then everyone else comes after that. All right. Two more questions, anybody? Two more? We're wrapping up. Which one? How do you know that you're selling yourself short?
You can answer that. You know what is it? Good. From a male perspective.
From a male's perspective? How do you know that you're selling yourself too short, or I guess you're settling?
Because if it's not what you want and it doesn't line up with the will of God.
Yeah.
If it's not what you prayed for, if you've prayed for something specifically, and you know that this is not what God would have for you, and it's just not meshing, it's just not working. You know in your heart, like when you're like, I wish this could work, but it's not working, right? So just, we have to be mature about things. I think that's one of the things too, is being mature, being able to have those mature conversations, like, you know, I thought that this could possibly be something that, you know, I wanted to move forward in, but it's not really what I'm looking for. And that's okay.
Another one. Should women ask guys out? If so, how? If not.
Should women ask men out? I'm kind of... It comes off a little desperate. I mean, like, if you... Wait. You need a who? Wait, I think it's not scriptural, but it's... Well, yeah. Well, it says that... I did. But scripturally, it says, a man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, right? And obtaineth favor with the Lord. So, if we're going to live our lives according to biblical principles, then... The man has to find you, boo, so just stop being thirsty and settle yourself.
Okay, we got a couple questions. Okay, do you guys, hold on one second. They want a comment. Do you guys want to accept comments? Okay.
No.
All right, just want to make sure. So, question.
Somebody talked about you must wait for your significant other.
Yeah.
Is there punishment for somebody who never had an intimate relationship? Because some people die waiting.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Wait. Well, the Bible says that the Bible says that God will give you the desires of your heart, right? So if you're, I'm not saying that it's their fault that they died waiting, but sometimes, and I've seen it, no lie, like I've seen it where women desire to be married and there's like a person that wants to be with them, but they have this picture in their mind of what this person is supposed to look like and what they're supposed to be and all of these prerequisites that's supposed to come, and then they bypass this person. And this could have been the person for you, But you're being picky. You're being picky. I'm looking at somebody very specifically. She's going to get me after. But you're being picky, and you die waiting. So, yeah, you die waiting.
Oh. Okay, so my comment was on the women asking men out. Now, you guys said that you're supposed to be friends. So if you are already friends with a male and you guys, you know, say it's a crew or whatever, everybody hangs out, you're friends, and then you say, okay, let's hang out separately, that's not necessarily thirsty because you're already friends, so you found each other anyway.
No, that's different. We're talking about specifically where there's a situation, a guy that you don't really know, and you want to get to know them, and you're like, I want to get to know you. Can we go out? That's thirsty.
Okay.
Yeah, it's thirsty.
Well, I guess that answers my comment, because when I met Angel, I asked him to come to Bible study with me. Hungry for God.
Oh.
And
that's in the church.
But it was to ask him out, though.
Also, Adele, we've got to think about what our intentions are. At the time, according to you, right? At the time, your intention and your heart wasn't to get a man. Your heart and your intention was, well, I know this really cool place where we worship on a Monday night where you can really see God. Do you want to come? Right? And so it's what your heart, you know your heart.
Awesome. All right.
Question.
Real fast. We wrapped this up last week.
Yeah.
Nikema, you got a question? Okay. Comment up here, right?
It's that one. Okay, here we go.
I just want to agree to disagree. Yeah, because in saying that you have to be safe to get married, I don't think so. I disagree. Because I born and grew up in church, my husband didn't. I met him, I asked the Lord for my husband, and I stumbled into this wonderful man. And 15 years later, he got saved. He never gave no problem. He never cursed me, never disrespected me. Anytime I asked him to go to church with me, he would come. And sometimes he would say, no, not today, babe, you know. And he came, and eventually God saved him. And the Bible also said that the husband is saved through the sanctified wife and vice versa. So I don't believe that the two people have to be in church and Christian, because sometimes there are men in church that are worse.
You're absolutely right.
Than the men on the street. I much prefer that you meet someone who like-minded, and you know your data or whatever. That's just my
okay.
That's my story.
And what a wonderful ending that you have. I'm serious. What a wonderful story that you have. But biblically speaking, that's not a standard. That it worked out for you, right? And thank God it worked out for you because of the grace that's over your life. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's gonna work out for someone else that takes that road. And if we live our lives according to the Word of God says, do not be unequally yoked. So, we said that you can be married to someone who you guys are on two different paths and it still doesn't work out. Sometimes people pretend to be Christians and they pretend to be saved and they're not. But if we bring it back to a biblical principle, that is what the Bible says. That's not what I'm saying. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah, and it comes down to like, all right, thanks, bro. And I think one of the biggest things is, if you're talking about saved religion, because that was all kind of very religious terms.
Yeah.
Just a person who's willing to apply what the Word of God says, apply what the Bible says, who has a passion for that, lets you know if a person really means business. A disciple is one who follows Jesus, who follows the word. So that's one of the ways you know if somebody, not somebody just goes to church or somebody who says they're a Christian, are they seeking to apply the word of God in their lives? Are they open to the counsel of scriptures? That's a person who you know is living a biblical Christian life, right? So that's what we want to kind of establish. But yeah, definitely, it's not so much a rule. It's just like the Bible called the prophet to marry a prostitute. And that's not the standard, but that's what God asked him to do for a specific purpose. So you never know, again, but these are just general rules we're laying down. All right? Yeah, two more points.
Okay, I have a question. Speaking about what you said, severing relationships, I just often find that a lot of women, as being a woman, you know, women feel like they can vent and share things that are very confidential with other women. And I kind of feel like a lot of times, what do you say to people? Because you never want to make it seem like you tell a person, girl, well, get some courage and leave this man. But what do you tell another female? I guess maybe even to the both of you, what do you tell another female who feels as though this person is not the one, but they don't know how to end, but there's some sort of connection there. Like connection, whether it is through family, whether it's through children, but they know this person is not the one, but they don't know how to end it because the person basically, I find that a lot of men sometimes, they just won't leave. No, I'm just being honest. I come across situations like the man just won't leave, although they're no good. And you know this man, no, stop laughing. You know that they're not the one. You know it in your heart, but you hold on for certain things, but you're ready to sever it. But the man just won't leave. I know quite a few situations like that where the man just won't leave. Like, what do you say or what's your advice to those type of people? Because you never want to say, girl, get some courage and just leave. But sometimes it's like, how many times, going back to what Shanice said, you keep going around in circles and you keep repeating the same thing. At what point in time, it's like, how do you get rid of them? The gnats.
The bugaboos. Honestly, men will only do what you allow them to do to you, right? So if you are a doormat and you keep your door open, they're going to keep wiping their feet and they're going to keep coming in. But if you make a stand and you say, listen, I'm not doing this anymore, and not just lip service, being serious with your actions, even if you have a child together, we have a child together, but we can co-parent, but that doesn't mean that we need to be connected in any sort of intimate way, and I'm not even necessarily talking about sex. I'm talking about going out, hanging out, oh, we have a baby, we're going to spend time. No. If there comes a season where you're going to have to completely close the door, right? And then, when the person really understands that you're serious, then that relationship can change, right? Then things can change. But if you're serious about, and this is what I would tell my friend, if you're like, I'm not going to tell you what to do, because how many times people try to tell us what to do? Did we listen? No, we're going to do what we want to do anyway. But I would tell my friend, listen, if you're serious about really severing ties with this person, you're going to have to take a stand. You're going to have to cut all ties, and you're going to have to mean business. And that means not taking phone calls. If you have a child together, then that's something different. But not taking personal phone calls, there's nothing going on but between you and I. And you make it strictly business. And you mean what you say. And I think that's the problem that we get into, and just speaking from a woman perspective, like we say one thing, but and then our actions speak something different. So we say no, but and then we're picking up our phone. We say no, but and then we're going out. We say no, but and then we're taking gifts. No is no. If I'm saying no, then I'm saying no to conversation. I'm saying no to going out. I'm saying no to taking gifts. I'm saying no to hanging out with your family, even though we have a close relationship, right? Because you got to sever the ties there as well. No is no.
Yeah, just for the record, you got to love yourself more than others. The Bible says love yourself and then you love others. So you have to love yourself first, and it really comes down to that. And especially sometimes if you're a generous person, some people are giving. And because we're Christians, you're not supposed to give and be nice, all this stuff. Yeah. But at the same time, if you are a person that your personality type is that you love to just give and you love to make yourself available to people, that's okay. But then you got to understand, wait a minute, what are people taking advantage of me? People take advantage of you when you begin to do things you really don't want to do. When you want to say no, but you feel like you can't, and then you're not manipulated. Now you're being taken advantage of, and exactly. And people know when you are weak. And so that what you said is key, the courage, the boldness that a person needs to say no. You have to learn how to start saying no. And it's okay to say no. Like, even for me in ministry, like, I can say no to someone and not feel bad. Before that, it wasn't the case. Because I grew up always, my family were always very giving people. We took pride in that. But then I realized that if I'm going to go to a certain level in my life and then a certain level in my ministry, I can't say yes to everybody. I can't preach everywhere. I can't hang out with everybody. I have to say no. And it's okay to say no. And so sometimes we think that it's ungodly to say no to people. No. It's okay to say no, to shut some people down when they need to. All right? Feel comfortable doing that. Last point, Ron had his hand up. Oh. Make me snappy.
Okay, this question was actually brought up the first time we had the panel. The person is not here, so I'll ask on their behalf. But can you just speak to the role that finances play in committed relationships, you know, especially marriages, when you have two different viewpoints on money itself, and, you know, one person may not, or you guys may not necessarily be wrong, but you just have two different ideals when it comes to money and finances, and the way you manage money maybe differently. How do you balance that in your relationship?
Yeah, you have to kind of establish what the end goal is. So what do we want to accomplish financially? All right, then from there, if a person says, well, I feel like this is the route we should go, somebody else says, I feel like this is the way we should go, then you kind of just say, all right, somebody submits to one another and say, well, let's try it. We'll try it this way. And let's see where we go. And if that doesn't work, try the other way. I just think that, but first and foremost, I think we have to establish a clear goal that we both, an objective, an aim. Like, all right, we want to start saving for a house. Okay? Let's start here. Now, if that's the focus, that's the vision, then let's see who has a better plan. And if we can't see somebody has a better plan, then somebody just has to submit and just say, well, let's try your plan. Let's see how it happens. It takes submission. It takes just a simple conversation. Same thing can go with sex. It's like one person might say, I'm willing to do this. Another person say, I'm not willing to do that. Right? So now somebody got to submit. And so it's the willingness. It's really, again, it goes back to that friendship. Friendship. If we can talk through things, then we can get through anything. So that's the bottom line right there. Ron is the last.
Yeah, my question kind of touched on what he's saying. If you're married, is it okay to have separate accounts? Like,
oh, okay.
Like that you, that yeah, the person may not know about. Separate accounts. Like,
no. It's a simple. Yeah, no, definitely. It's a common question. Do what works for you. Do what works best for the couple, especially if one person knows I'm not good at finances, other person is good at finances. Then it's like, all right, if you know you're not good at finances, and I'm okay, and I'm a little better than you, then I'll manage that part. And you might say, well, like for example, here's like a general rule. This is a general rule. I heard this from somebody, and it was a really good idea. A married couple should have at least four accounts, actually. Two separate accounts. One account that's used just for bills. And a joint account for saving. So at least four accounts. So why do we need a personal account? For just like basic spending, like lunch during the week, or just something you want to buy. She wants to buy something once a week or twice a week, whatever the case may be. That account does not touch the savings. This is just you personally. You have something that you can go into that you're not draining our savings. All right? And then you have another account that's for paying all the bills. You use that credit, you use that bank and that account just to take care of all your light bills, car notes, whatever the case may be, monthly expenses. And then you have the savings that you both are jointly putting into. If you're saving together, you have, a gold trip, house, whatever the case may be, another account. So I think that's a great idea. Because for me, like, for example, Shanika and I, it works that we have separate and a joint that we both kind of, like, just put towards. And we work together. I'm not all up on her about what she's doing with her money. She's not up on me about that. But that's just the relationship we have. I trust her. She trusts me in that regards. And so, but if I know Shanika would, like, was going out and just splurging every week, coming in new bags and new... She shops, but she doesn't really, she's not a shopaholic. You know, when she does shop, she makes up for the 3 months you didn't pay for something, but she works and she treats herself, that type of thing. But ultimately, just do what works for both of you. All right? Amen. All right, guys, so that's all. Amen. Amen. Look out for Shanice's book, 2016. Put some pressure on her, y'all, 2016. All right, let's stand.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.